afternoon, Richmond. It's 12 noon, and I'm AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM here on a Tuesday, December 16th. This is Richmond's home for the most local sports talk in town. Your home for the most play-by-play. Nats, the Caps, the Wizards, the Richmond Flying Squirrels, VCU Basketball, UVA and Virginia Tech, and the Washington Commanders. And yesterday, you know, typical, as soon as we get off the airwaves here, Dan Quinn sits down in Ashburn ahead of practice at the podium and delivers what I thought was shocking news, that Jaden Daniels will be shut down for the remainder of this season. They will not put him on IR because it was important to Jaden that he can practice and be with his teammates. Am I happy for this decision? No. Do I think Dan Quinn made this decision? No. But I'm starting to think it was the right thing to do, because in Adam Peters, I trust. I really do. We'll break it down throughout the show today, and we'll take your phone calls. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Now that you know Jaden Daniels is done for the season, how will you look back on his injury-derailed sophomore season? But you know how we like to start the show every day, by catching you up on anything you might have missed around the sports world with the Sports App.
Here it is, everybody.
Clearly, this is the future.
Stats, scores, highlights.
Whoa, are you serious?
Wi-Fi plus 3G, 64K, this one.
The Sports App.
Pittsburgh, Miami, Monday Night Football. The Steelers recover from a slow start, then go on a franchise-best 4 straight touchdown drives to win 28-15 over Miami. Metcalf was awesome in this game. It was Connor Hayward, the brother of Cam Hayward, opening the scoring with the tush push tutty.
Hayward under center. He gets shoved. No signal yet. Now it is. Touchdown, Steelers. They go on top.
Some quarterbacks have their friends. Aaron Rodgers has his best friend. Marquez, Valdez, Scantlin. Cross in the middle, he's wide open into the end zone. Steelers score again.
Trying to go to the air here. Rodgers end zone's got his man. Touchdown, Marquez Valdez Scantling.
Rodgers, who finished the game with an incredible 23 of 27, 224 yards, and 2 touchdown passes, would find DK Metcalf in the middle of the field. DK Metcalf secures the catch, then puts on a couple of stiff arms to get into the end zone. Here's the call.
He's the guy who deserves more playing time.
On third down. Got it to DK Metcalf. And fighting his way for the touchdown.
Jonnu Smith would run it in for the 4th straight touchdown drive for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Here is a toss. In the backfield, Jonnu Smith. And a rushing touchdown for big number 81, his first rushing score of the year.
So from the laughingstock of the league last year with the Jets to in a playoff push and maybe his final season, Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers are in contention to make the postseason and win their division, now holding a 1-game lead on Baltimore with 3 games to go. This is how he wanted to close out his historic NFL career. If you've been listening, you know I've been rooting for the Steelers and Coach Mike Tomlin all season long. Let's move over to the NBA on the Sports App. If you're a fan of the NBA and you've been paying attention to the NBA Cup happening in Vegas, there's some bad news. The NBA is considering moving the NBA Cup out of Las Vegas next season. According to sources, the league already announced this would be the last year for neutral site semifinals. The issue is that the games in Vegas have had empty seats and less energy than home playoff games. That's because nobody knows about the NBA Cup, when it's going on, who's playing in it, and it does not make any sense to have the semifinals and finals in Vegas if they're going to be played before Christmas. I do not understand how Adam Silver doesn't realize that the majority of America does not start watching NBA basketball until Christmas Day. And now, you've kind of lost that. I know I will be watching the NFL on Christmas. It was Cade Cunningham and the Pistons. He dropped 32 in a comeback win over the Celtics last night. Let's take a listen to the call.
Cade working against him. Back to 3. This 4-3, and it's through.
Let's get to the Rockets against the Nuggets last night. A thrilling victory for Denver as Sengun misses the last shot in overtime. Here's the call on the Fan.
8 seconds, too.
They flash out on Durant. Give it to Sengun. He lets it go. No good. Bruce Brown with the rebound. And that will do it.
And that secures a Nuggets victory. Over to college basketball on the Sports app. Pretty good crowd last night at the Stuart C. Siegel Center, the home of the Broad Street Bullies for VCU against Niagara. And I thought this contest was so entertaining going into it because of the fact that Greg Paulus, who's the head coach at Niagara and played at Duke, the last time he faced off against VCU, well, he was caught on the court crying after the Eric Maynard dagger. He's now in his seventh season coaching college basketball at Niagara, and it was the first time these schools have ever met. And it was Niagara really playing strong in the first half as VCU went into the locker room just up by three. And, of course, you heard Michael Phillips talking about it. Philip Martelli Jr. lit into his players for their efforts on both sides of the ball in the first half as Djokovic gives the Rams the lead with an and-one bucket in the second half.
Inside, Djokovic puts his shoulder down, throws up the right hand, scores, and he's fouled. The and one for Lazar. He'll go to the free throw line as the Rams take the lead back 42-40.
Yeah, it was good to get Djokovic involved, a little inside out, getting him a paint touch, and then it was Terrence Hill, who's had this incredible stroke from the outside, extending the lead with a layup. Let's take a listen to the call.
Lewis, a deep three ball for Lewis, no good. And it's rebounded into the hands of Hill. He reverse layups and scores, just swooped in and got it. As neither Niagara defender underneath could come up with a loose ball. And Hill, very opportunistic, picks it up with a reverse layup.
What makes VCU so difficult this season is how deep this roster is. They can go 8, 9, 10 players deep here. Another freshman outside of Nick Lewis, Jordan Tillery, has absolutely impressed and deserved a ton of minutes in the last few ball games. He splits the defenders and gets an impressive and one.
Fakes the pass right, now throws it up, caught by Michael Bell. Driving right side. Flings it back out to Tillery. Tillery on the perimeter. He takes it in the lane. Tillery trying to finish at the rim. He does!
Woo!
Wow! Whoa! Jordan Tillery, how about you, brother? He splits two defenders, throws it up off the glass, and scores at the 6:20 mark.
I thought the story of the game was the VCU power forwards, Barry and Bell. Barry Evans and Michael Bell. Of course, Lazar Djokovic was really good as well. He hit 11 of 11 from the charity stripe to lead VCU with 18 points. Bell dropped a career-high 15, 5 of 5 from the field. Barry Evans was terrific as well. He had 10 points for the VCU Rams as VCU knocked down a season-high 16 three-pointers, almost 50% from three-point range, 49% on 33 attempts against the Purple Egrets of Niagara, who were held to 0 of 7 from three-point range in the second half. As like I said, this was a neck-and-neck game that had the Rams go into the locker room up by three. From up by three to completely dominating this game, it was a terrific second half turnaround for VCU. Your final score, 84-58. That's right, VCU won the second half by 23 points to win the game by 26. They will stay at home as the next game for the Rams will be on Thursday at the Stu, taking on American. Let's move over to the NHL on the Sports app. Every day on the Sports app, we track the Washington Capitals and the greatest goal scorer in the history of the National Hockey League. And the Caps are coming off of a tough defeat over the weekend, but they get back on the ice tonight against the Minnesota Wild. Caps have had an incredible season from Tom Wilson this season. He's got 17 goals and 15 assists to lead the Caps with 32 points on the year. Ovi's been great as well. He had a hat trick just last week. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We are broadcasting live from Capital Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on down, grab a beer, and check out the show. This is the place to watch NFL, college basketball, and more, because they own the late night. Check out the late night happy hour here at Capitol Ale House. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We're broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on by, grab a beer, and check out the show live and local here on a Tuesday, December 16th. It's 12:15, which means it's time to crosstalk with Michael Phillips, who's with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. We got a lot to get to. We don't need to hear the sounder. Michael, I'll ask you this. Do you believe this decision to shut Jaden Daniels down was medically based, mentally based, or another reason to shut him down?
Well, I think the big overall factor here is they want Jaden healthy for training camp next year. They do not want to risk another injury. They understand that if there is another injury, and, you know, watching Mahomes, watching Micah Parsons, right, if anything were to happen that he were to mess himself up, that would set you back in what's going to be a very critical year three of evaluation, because, you know, at the end of year three is when you make the decision on that fifth year of the contract, which is going to be a very expensive option. They need to get a really good evaluation of Jaden Daniels next year.
Do you think there's a coincidence that he's shut down just after the team is officially eliminated?
I think it has far more to do with what happened in Minnesota. You know, he's medically cleared. He's out there. He takes that. He takes the block off the interception. He goes out for the rest of the game. I think at that point, Adam Peters, and I'm saying Adam Peters, not Dan Quinn, says, hang on, enough. I got to see this guy at full strength next year to know if I'm making him my franchise quarterback or not. Adam Peters has nothing to gain by playing Jaden Daniels the rest of the way. Now, I believe Dan Quinn has something to gain. I believe Jaden Daniels has something to gain. And I believe the fan base has something to gain. But Adam Peters has nothing to gain from seeing him again this year.
Yeah, that's why I don't think there's a coincidence at all here. I think Adam Peters was letting Dan Quinn make the decisions with the medical staff. And then as soon as they were eliminated, Adam Peters said, all right, Dan, this now becomes my decision. Just like you said, it does not benefit Adam Peters for Jaden Daniels to play in meaningless games at the end of the season. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in the offseason, so I don't think this was Dan's decision. And I think Dan knows that he wants to win, and Jaden gives him the best chance to win. But yeah, I think Adam Peters took this decision from him, and he's looking ahead to the future. Like you said, he wants to guarantee that Jaden will have a fully healthy offseason. How would you say Jaden played in the games in which he started and finished? There's only a couple of them. I think four this season.
I think he had one good game this year. I think he had one franchise quarterback caliber game this season. I think it was against the Chargers. I think he was excellent in that game against a formidable foe, right? And that has held up. The Chargers were good at the time, are good now. It was a nationally televised game. Jaden rose to the moment. He was very good in that game. I think that's the game we're all the most excited after, which was that win and the potential for what was coming next. You know, you can sell me on, you know, the Raiders or the Giants. No, I think he had one good game this year.
No, I'm going to sell you on that Giants game for sure. I mean, he was nearly perfect in that game in the first half, except for everybody remembers the bad, you know, play at the end of the half there where he tried to throw it away and got an intentional grounding, and that deleted three more points. But he should have had 17 in the first half, you know, 19 of 30 and a touchdown. He also was able to run successfully for 68 yards. I'm going to give him that Chargers game, and I'm giving him the Bears game. I don't care that he fumbled and dropped the ball at the end. 19 of 26, 211 yards. He also was a threat on the ground, 10 for 52. You know, he had some really good passes. I think people sleep on it because we didn't like Chris Moore, but Chris Moore made an incredible catch on a great throw by Jaden Daniels in that game. So I would give him Giants, Falcons, Chargers, Bears. I'm going to say that he played solid in four games this season, and we are a 4-10 football team.
He didn't play against. Did he play against the Falcons? He didn't play against the Falcons.
No,
right?
No. Did I say Falcons? I said Packers, Chargers, Bears, Giants.
Okay, he didn't play well against the Packers. That's a hard no for me. I can't join you there. And look, in your scorekeeping, he's 4 out of 7. That's above 50%, and that validates what I think you and I both believe. He is a franchise quarterback in the NFL, full stop. And when he's playing at full health and playing his best, he is a guy I want to give $70 million a year to. He's a guy I want to retire in burgundy and gold. He's a guy I want to be here for the next 10 to 15 years. The noise is just the everything else. I think he's a de facto NFL starting quarterback.
Oh, for sure. I don't think we're really debating that. I think you're crazy if you're debating that right now. This season was ruined for
you
him
gotta
due to injury.
You got to decide. You got to decide as soon as next year if you're tossing him the keys to the franchise. And while we both agree he's good enough at football, availability is a big question mark in the NFL. Look at some of these teams that hitch their wagon to the wrong guy. You know, Kyler Murray is an NFL quarterback when he's good. He's tremendously talented. They tossed the keys to the franchise to him. It ended very poorly. There's examples where, you know, if you pick the wrong guy, and Kirk Cousins is one of those guys, right? You toss the keys to Kirk Cousins, he delivers numbers, it undeliver wins. There is a big decision coming at the end of next. Nothing to do with how talented Jaden is. The question is, are you going to build a team around him for the next decade and feel good about him being on the field for that decade?
I think it's a risk you have to take. You cannot be scared of injuries. He's the best thing we've seen at quarterback in 25 years. It's not even close. He could miss another 6 games next year. I would still take that risk. You just have to take that risk. You have to. Yes, you can point to teams in which it did not work out, and there's going to be examples of that all the time. But there's also more examples of teams that don't get that option because they never draft the quarterback in the first place. Yeah. Washington did the hard part by drafting Jaden Daniels. Now you have to make sure he sticks around for sure.
If you're asking me today, if I had to make the decision today, would I sign him to a 6-year contract to be the quarterback for the Washington Commanders? My answer is yes, I would. I absolutely would toss him the keys to the franchise. If you're asking me today, would I trade him for Caleb Williams? No, I would not. I would keep Jaden Daniels. I would not trade him for Caleb Williams. But I don't have to make that decision today. Adam Peter doesn't have to make that decision today. We get to watch a whole nother year of football. I think it's going to be telling.
Yeah. What did Dan Quinn say yesterday to Scott Abraham? We just didn't have that discussion because we're not there right now. That's what I'm
going to say. If you were 10-4, would you be playing him? Of course they'd be playing him if they were 10-4. I like Scott. Scott comes on my show. He's on the Junkies all the time. He's very diligent. He does good work. That was a question designed to elicit an answer, and Dan Quinn swatted it out of there because it was ridiculous. Of course he would be playing if they were 10-4 right now.
Yeah, it's the way he worded the question, because I think it's the right question to ask, just not the right way to word it. I would almost say something like, hey, is there a, you know, I don't know, because he's just going to swat it down either way. Because he's been combative in the last few weeks here as things have gone wrong. But there's a better way to word that question.
I'd be combative, too, if I had to answer for decisions I didn't make.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, it's pretty clear Dan didn't make that decision. I just think that them being eliminated was part of Adam Peters' thinking. Do you agree at all or no?
Well, they've just been virtually eliminated for so long. Like, I agree with the statement, them being eliminated as part of the decision. I just think they've been effectively eliminated the last 3 weeks. I mean, it's just like, sure, there was the chance. Like, do the Cowboys still have a chance, I think, right? They've got, like, if they win out and the Eagles lose out, like, sure, there's a chance, but we all know the Cowboys aren't going to be in the playoffs. They've been eliminated for all intents and purposes. So I don't know that the official elimination mattered. I think the effective elimination was what mattered here.
I mean, I think it 100% mattered if you listen to what Dan Quinn was saying. I mean, he absolutely believed that they still could have turned things around and gone on a run. I mean, go back and listen to him after the loss to the Cowboys, after the loss to the Chiefs, after the loss to the Dolphins. He still believed that they were close. They were inching closer to turning things around, and then we're going to go on a streak. Once they were officially eliminated, Peters told him, hey, look, you're too close to this fire. You got to get out of the house before the roof collapses.
I appreciate the confidence. He lost 5 games this year by 21 or more points. They weren't turning any corners, Adam.
No, but that's why you coach, though. Like, come on, Michael. No, take your journalism hat off for a second put your hands.
He's got to say that, and it's Adam Peters' job to let him know that, no, you're not actually turning a corner. Like, I've been watching it. No, you're not.
All right, then you're the worst GM in the history of football. You cannot do that if you're not officially eliminated. You have to still believe that there is a chance to turn things around. It's in every sport, Michael. Like the journalism approach is, oh yeah, well we could have eliminated them after the week six loss. No, until you are officially eliminated, everybody in that locker room and everybody in the front office needs to fight like they have a chance to turn things around. That's a loser mentality, Michael.
If they were the Cowboys this week, the Cowboys have, I just looked out mathematically, a 1% chance of making the playoffs. They have to win all three, and Philly has to lose all three. If we were the Cowboys in this scenario, you would rush Jaden back and play him this week because of the
1%. 110%. It's not even close. 1,010%, Michael. I can't believe you're actually saying this.
I think the Cowboys aren't going to be in the playoffs. Like, I think they're done. They're done.
That's not the argument, though. But you're arguing that they should give up with three games left because it's not likely that they're going to get in. I mean, how many miracles do you need to witness? The miracle on ice, the miracle on Jaden Street. Like, how many more sports miracles do you need to witness before you'd realize that until it's all said and done, until the fat lady sings, you have to keep fighting?
I'll go 99-1 odds on you. The Cowboys don't make the playoffs. If you want to. Put some chips down this holiday season.
I'd rather talk about your Kansas City Chiefs being eliminated, because I can tell you this, everybody in Kansas City still believed that they were going to get into the playoffs until Gardner Minshew threw that interception.
Teams are who they tell us they are at this stage of the season. And you know, like, the Chiefs had told us who they were, and people kept believing in them. That was on them. They told us who they were all season long, and I feel for Mahomes, and I don't love the timing because he's going to do the all-in for week one bit next year. I think next year, like, you look at Brady's career, and Mahomes and Brady is the comparable here. Like, you can hate on me if you want. Mahomes is the new Brady. Brady won three Super Bowls at the start of his career, had a mid-career lull, rebuilt with veterans late in his career, rolled off his last few. This is an opportunity for the Chiefs to realize the window is closed with this team, reboot, take a season, get a young roster that they can build into Chiefs 2.0 to get him the three on the back end of his career.
Yeah. No, I get it. I also know that you and everybody was saying the Colts were for real, and I never got on board with the Colts. I was correct in staying ahead of the curve here that Indianapolis was fraudulent, and now they might not even make the postseason.
Hang on. They didn't look bad against the Seahawks. That's a Seahawks team has been boat racing people, and the Colts were leading with 20 seconds left. I'm still not out on the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, you can be alone in that one, dude. They are now 8-6 behind Houston, behind Jacksonville. They've got the 49ers, the Jags, and the Texans. Those are three very difficult games here. I'll be rooting for Phillip Rivers. But I think we've seen the Colts are not as good as everybody thought they were when they started the season, like 8-2.
I just want Mo Alley Cox to catch a touchdown. That's all I want in life.
Well, Tyler Warren is stealing all of them.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Richmond on Richmond crime.
Yep. That's Michael Phillips, MP on the mic. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. It was a packed crowd, sold out at the Stuart Siegel Center last night as VCU defeated Niagara, thanks to junior forwards Lazar Djokovic and Michael Bell leading the Rams in double figures as they rode a strong second half to victory. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, play-by-play voice of VCU basketball, Robbie Robinson. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, Wad. Thanks for having me on, man. How are you doing? Everything? Having a good week so far?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Good. And I love to see VCU knock down a season high 16 three-pointers in the game. I did feel like in the first half we were just chucking up too many attempts from long range and then started to knock them down, of course, at a high level. But yeah, an incredible three-point shooting last night, one of the lead stories of the game.
Well, we hit 7 out of our first 9. I think I remember seeing that on the stat sheet. Don't 100% quote me on that, but I feel like it was 7 out of our first 9. And sometimes it's a little fool's gold because you can go from 7 of 9 to 8 of 20 really quickly. And so they were, if you talk to Coach Martelli, and I know you listened to the postgame show, they were giving it to us. They're giving every three-pointer. They were not going to let us get in the paint. They were packing it in and daring us to shoot. And early on we did, and we had some success with it, built a 12-point lead. But then I think we went cold, and I think that's the nuance, right? When they're giving you those three-pointers and all of a sudden they aren't going in, it's a clip that maybe they did at the beginning of this the game. What do you do with that? And that's where we fell into a little bit of a lull. They cut it to 1. I think it was a 3-point game or 5-point game at the break, and they hung around a little bit. But sure enough, you're right, we ended up getting it going again and hit 16 total. And I think anytime the Rams hit 16 three-pointers, they should win, and we did, and we did.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you about when you start making a couple, you fall in love with it, and you think every single one is going down, and then eventually you get cold, and Niagara got back into this game. I thought Greg Paulus really coached well in the first half. It was like 4 minutes at a time. He was keeping his team in it, his Niagara team, and they fought hard. But in the second half, the VCU defense got way more aggressive, and I thought that was the difference in the game, the aggression on the defensive end.
We picked it up a level in the second half. And I think also don't ever discount the fact that we wear teams down with our athleticism, with our pace, and also with our depth. We bring, here's Ahmad Noel, here's Terrence Hill, and it gives Brandon and Nick a chance to rest. And, oh, here comes Keyshawn Mitchell, so Lazar gets a breather on the bench. We don't have guys that have to play 30 to 35 minutes, and I think that makes a big deal. That's a huge bonus and advantage for us, especially down the stretch, and that's what we saw yesterday. Holding any team in college basketball under 60 points is tremendous, and we did that. As much as that game didn't feel like the A game for the Rams, because the first half we struggled and were a little leaky, and again in the second half too, they came out, and it's not like we came out of the locker room, Adam, and took a 15-point lead within the first 3 or 4 minutes. They kept it in single digits for the first 11 minutes of the second half, and it was just the end of the game where the Rams found another gear that Niagara didn't have, allowed us to pull away and win by 26, which is, I think, what Coach Martelli will take. Would you love to come out and be up by 20 at half and be up by 40 with 5 minutes left and cruise your way to a 45-point win? Of course, but it doesn't always work out that way. And I thought Niagara, like you said, Greg Paulus did a good job, and they played pretty well and had some real designs on how to take advantage of some of our weaknesses that they exploited early on.
Coming into this season, from what we saw from Lazar Djokovic in just the two exhibition games, I was telling Zach Joachim, he's like Max Scholga in his ability to draw fouls. And now you see he had 9 fouls drawn last night, lived at the free throw line, made every one 11 on 11. He puts so much pressure on every other team's defense when he gets a paint touch.
He does, and that's his real strength. When he is in an aggressive mindset, he is awfully difficult to match up with because he can handle the basketball. He's got a little jumper that can go anywhere, I feel like, between 8 and 3-point. He hit a 3-pointer last night, so you and that was, I think, his 6th or 7th of the season. And so he is a multi-tooled player, and when he is locked in, he's a load, man, and I think he and Nick Lewis, I think, are two huge parts of this team moving forward, that if they can continue to progress the way that they've progressed this season, we will have success in the A-10, no doubt about it. But those two guys have to continue to play really well. We can't have guys like Lazar go into a slump, and I think that's where we struggle.
Robbie Robinson with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline was on the call last night as the Rams defeated the Purple Eagles 84-58 at the Siegel Center. Robbie, my buddy texted me about Jordan Tillery, who's been awesome and is earning more and more minutes every game. He said he's like an old-school Havoc-era VCU energy guy. I almost think he's like a bulky Brandenburg. What do you think about that?
A bulky Brandenburg. Brandenburg was pretty bulky. I like that. I think that's a great comparison. Honestly, now that you say it, if that is a whether size wise they're different or the same, I think they're very similar players, and they are strong. They'll get to the rim. They have unbelievable vertical athleticism. And yes, I'll buy in that. And I think you're right. He is a very old school Havoc kind of player. And I'm sure there's reasons. A lot of times we don't see the nuances that might lead a kid to not play more minutes, and our fans naturally, like all of us do, why doesn't he play more? Why doesn't he get more minutes? He's so good when he's out there. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of reasons that are shown in the practice gym and also on the floor that if they put on video and pointed out, we'd see it. But he's earning more playing time. He looks great. I love watching him out there because he brings a level of intensity that I think the team needs. And I think Coach Martelli is very strategic when he puts him in, because when he does go in, it does raise the game for all the guys. And he's fun to watch, man. That and one he had last night where he drove and slipped it through those two guys, that was a pretty remarkable play. We watched it on the replay this morning of our footage from last night. That was a eye-popping play by Jordan Tillery. And yes, he will continue to get more minutes, I think, as long as he takes care of things on both sides. Offensively, he's great. They are probably wanting him to continue to lock up defensively.
Yeah, but that was such a strong, impressive drive to the basket. Michael Bell, 5 of 5, 4-4 from the three-point line. I mean, this three-point shot, it's looking so much more smooth. He's so much more confident. He's not really hesitating when he gets an open look. We are seeing Michael Bell develop in front of our eyes.
Well, it's really what happens when you have all the things going for you that Michael does. Number one, I think he feels really comfortable in the black and gold uniform. This is his third year. He doesn't feel like every time he steps out on the floor, he's got to prove something to the building, to teammates, to the media. He's been there and done that. He's won an A-10 championship here. He's had two successful seasons under Coach Odom. And I think when you have that confidence and familiarity, it makes a big difference. And that's why keeping guys like Michael Bell in your program is so crucial. Is Michael Bell going to be a 25-point-per-game guy? He's not, I don't think. Maybe he does, but I don't see that in the tea leaves for Michael Bell. But if he can continue to do what he's doing, and that also you couple that to the fact that he has now got experience in more and more games under his belt, so he does have that level of familiarity with how this offense rolls. And that's why he has been my headliner, I think, the last 3 or 4 weeks. Michael Bell is just a critical part of this unit. Coming in, knowing how to defend, knowing where he has to be, hitting threes when we need them the last couple of games, getting in there, getting rebounds, being able to defend all five positions if they need to. I don't think I would go as far to say he's been the MVP of this team, but he can sure see it from here, Adam. He's right there in terms of the success that we're having, and I'm so happy for him. I love it when guys that stick around and don't dabble in the transfer portal have success. Guys like Terrence Hill, guys like Michael Bell and Brandon Jennings. It just warms my soul. It warms my heart to show these guys having success year in and year out for VCU.
Yeah, I do think that Barry and Bell have been two of the most crucial pieces. Barry Evans and Michael Bell, they kind of replace each other in and out of the lineup. I'd love to see more of them together, but they have been so crucial. Barry Evans is rebounding and is understanding the offense, and Michael Bell doing all of the dirty work and hustle plays for VCU, while also now knocking down three-point shots. Nick Lewis has not been afraid to chuck it up from deep either. He was 4 of 8 from long range last night, and that's like a part of his game that I wasn't that aware of, was Nick Lewis hitting it from deep.
I don't know if the coaching staff was aware of it. Coach Martelli has been quoted in our Unfiltered podcast by saying that has been a surprise. They did not know they were getting that. They knew what they were getting with him on a bunch of different levels. I don't think they knew they were getting such an accurate shooter from the outside, and he's shooting it well, and I think they're encouraging him to shoot it more. And so you might see a few more 4 of 8s or 3 of 10s, and I think that's okay, especially when you can hit those first couple. I think timing on hitting three-pointers is so crucial. When you hit a couple early on and show a team that you can fill it from deep, it takes them out of their game. They've got to adjust to your ability to hit from the outside. And then, like last night, Niagara was, they were okay with letting us shoot threes, and we were okay with making them, and it ends up in a 26-point win. But you're right about Nick Lewis. I think that's a little found money, as they like to say, Awad, with him. But his game is, again, growing in leaps and bounds every time he takes the floor.
Absolutely. Robbie, thanks so much for joining us. We always appreciate it.
All right, Awad, have a good rest of your week. We'll talk to you on Thursday when we take on American.
Yep, you're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. It's a Touchdown Tuesday. We will highlight all the best scoring plays from the weekend that was college football and the National Football League. We'll run around local sports in Richmond, talk about a high school state championship for Verina at 1:30 with Lane Casadante, and then we'll talk all things college basketball locally and nationally on University Drive. If you missed it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. We just had the voice of the VCU Rams, Robbie Robinson, to recap the victory at the Stew last night over Niagara. But after we got off the air yesterday, we had breaking news in the National Football League for your Washington Commanders, as the Commanders announced they will sit Jaden Daniels for the final three games of the season. That is the lead story here on the Commanders Corner as I react to this. And I was very upset yesterday. Really. I'm starting to understand the decision. But, of course, I was upset because I wanted Jaden to play. I think we all wanted Jaden to play. I can tell you selfishly, I wanted Jaden to play just so I had another reason to watch the game. I've told you how much I'm tired of mediocre quarterback play. I've seen that for basically the entirety of my life as a Commanders fan. So Jaden sitting is not fun for the fans at all. But it's probably the right move to guarantee he has a fully healthy offseason to improve. Because I think you have to look at this from the coach perspective. Then you have to look at it from the general manager perspective. Then you have to look at it from the ownership perspective. The coaching perspective, I'm in the fire. I'm in the fight. The building's burning. This season has been awful. I can feel my seat warming up, even though I had an incredible 12-win season. It's just year two for myself, head coach Dan Quinn. But I need Jaden to play so I can get some wins and end the season with momentum. Then you have the general manager's perspective, which is, look, I respect everything that you're doing, Dan Quinn, and I believe in your fight, and I want you to be the head coach, but you're too close to this thing right now. We are officially eliminated. It does more harm than good to play Jaden and have him get hurt again. Yes, there is a possibility that he could play, start, play well, finish the game, and create some momentum for next season. But there's also the chance that he plays and gets hurt and hurts his development in the offseason and maybe even hurts his chances of being fully healthy to start next season. And then you have the ownership perspective, which is Josh Harris, watching from a bird's eye view, and he's seeing, well, Patrick Mahomes just got eliminated from the playoffs and tore his ACL and will have to have surgery, and there's a chance that there's more ligament damage, and there's a chance that he's not healthy to start next season. The ownership perspective is, I am scared to play Jaden Daniels. The general manager perspective is, there's just no bright spot in playing Jaden Daniels because we've been eliminated. And the coaching perspective is, I just want to win. I just want to win and keep my job. And so I see all three perspectives here. And as a fan, I want Jaden to play. But I understand what Adam Peters and Josh Harris came up with here. And Dan Quinn kind of made sure everybody knew that it was a discussion between the three of them. But it's probably the right move, considering the team going nowhere, the amount of hits Jaden's taking, the defense not getting better, the weapons around him not being available. And it just hasn't worked with this coaching staff this season with Jaden. It doesn't mean it won't work next year, but you know, they claimed that they had a plan in place for Jaden to come back and play the final five games, starting with the Vikings game. And their plan didn't include a backup plan if he were to fall on that elbow. Like, he just fell on it. Oh no, now he's knocked out. It just does not really make a ton of sense here. To me, it makes more sense if, hey, our plan was to play him because the coach was desperate to somehow turn things around, go on a win streak, and sneak into the postseason. As soon as we're eliminated, I took that decision away from him because he's too close to the fire. And he's not understanding that there is more bad that can happen and harm than there is good. Because if Jaden were to go out there and tear his ACL or break his arm or dislocate his elbow again, then that derails part of his offseason. And he needs a fully healthy offseason because he needs to develop. He needs to put on 10 to 15 pounds of muscle, for sure, to keep himself healthy for next season and for the rest of his career. Hopefully, you know, in 15 years, we'll all look back on this season and say it was just unlucky. But I think this organization needs to do a better job of protecting Jaden. I think they understand that. And so they are going to protect him by not playing him for the rest of this season. They are protecting Jaden from himself. They are protecting Jaden from the Eagles' defensive line and the Cowboys' defensive line that could get after him. But really, I think this comes down to they are protecting Jaden from himself, because Jaden knew he could not take a hit on that elbow in the Vikings game. What happened? Jaden threw a pick and then took a hit on his elbow in that Vikings game. I think general manager ownership's perspective was this man can't keep himself healthy this season because the injuries have lingered, the offensive line's not protecting him, and he's trying to do too much to make the impossible happen. All those factors went into the decision. I don't like the decision, but I think I really do respect it because I trust Adam Peters, and I trust from his vantage point here that he sees the building is burning. It was going to collapse. Let's get Jaden out of there before he gets hurt again. I think that's what they looked at with this situation here. It's unfortunate because his sophomore season is basically 7 games, and 3 of them he didn't even finish. And it feels like a massive step back for the entire team and a roster. But no season is the same in the National Football League. And so you can start from square one again next year. And I think they're saying, hey, we'd rather him get hurt with an 0-0 record than him get hurt when we're already eliminated. Whether that's the correct way of thinking or not, I think that is what the general manager was thinking when he made this decision, which I think really did not just shock Commanders fans, but kind of shock the NFL world here. A lot of people were expecting that Jaden would come back this year, and we might get like a Jaden against Dak game on Christmas, or a Jaden Jalen Hurts game in week 17 or week 16 or week 18. It turns out the team is going to be extra cautious with the quarterback that is the most valuable piece of the franchise. It just makes sense. And really, it might be the correct way to handle this here, to make sure that Jaden doesn't put himself in harm's way, because that's what would have happened. Jaden plays against the Eagles. At one point in the game, either we're going to be losing or tied, and Jaden's going to try to make a magic play happen by scrambling and putting himself in harm's way. Either he, you know, gets the throw off and avoids the hit, or he doesn't get the throw off and he gets the hit. I think they saw the scenario, which was Jaden putting himself in harm's way to try to make a play in what ended up being a meaningless game, because the team has been officially eliminated. Once they were eliminated, I believe they took the decision out of Dan Quinn's hands. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back on The Fan.